Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would guide your word to our lives, to our hearts, and use my voice to communicate that which we need to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Money is not a topic that a lot of pastors enjoy preaching about, but as promised, I'm listening to questions or ideas that either people from this church or in this case from the other church have about a sermon, and this one came last week, and I thought, yeah, that's a good message. Now, I could certainly do an entire series on God and money and Jesus and money, and that may happen one day, but this is where the Lord led me as I thought about this topic. And I want to look at two particular words, devotion and contentment. And I want to add a third word that's not in your outline, but as I preached earlier and as I thought more about this even on the drive over here, I want to add a third word, possession. So we have devotion, contentment, and possession. When I was a little boy, coins were hard to come by. That is, nickels and dimes and quarters, even pennies. And so when I was able to get some, I would typically save them for one purpose. That was to hop on my bicycle, drive 2 miles to the local little country store, and sometime from March, April, through summer into early fall, most of the time when I went into that store, near the counter next to the candy was a little box filled with packs of baseball cards. And when I was a boy, in the mid and late 60s, that little pack of cards, there was 5 of them there, and they cost a nickel. And then eventually I think they went up to 10 cents, but you got 10 for 10 cents. It was still the same price, but you couldn't get them, you know, only 5 cents. But so saving up that nickel or later that dime was important to me. And I once in a while got a few coins here and there, but my father didn't make a lot of money. But more important than that, he taught me the value of money by using it well. And the most important lesson he gave me involved coins that we saw on the dining room table every Sunday morning. Because he would get up earlier than all the kids. There were 6 of us, 6 kids and mom and dad. And so there would be 6 quarters at the edge of the kitchen table. And we knew the purpose of those quarters. Because when my mom would put us in the car then and drive up to the church, and he was already there. He went early to pray, and he wasn't a pastor, but he just liked getting there early. He was usually the one that opened the building and turned the heat on in the winter and so forth. And those quarters were for us to take, to put in our pocket, my sister's in their purse, and when they got to Sunday school, there was an offering collected in Sunday school, and that was our offering. Now, in my 8-9-year-old mind, 25 cents. That's 5 packs of baseball cards. But thankfully, I never went there. I thought about it, but I respected my dad, and I respected the church, and respected God too much to cross that line. However, at some point, I do recall the passion I had for those little cardboard cards with baseball players' pictures on the front and their statistics on the back led me to a store shelf where my mom was shopping, and those were typically near the register. And I remember thinking, man, I could go like this, put it in my pocket, and no one's gonna know. And I did. I wasn't caught, but I had those cards along with the rest of them, and whenever I'm looking through my cards and playing with them, I would see the 5 that I stole, and they just stuck with me. Honestly, to this day, I remember one of them. I could tell you the name of the player, the team he was on, because that, and he wasn't even a good or memorable player otherwise, but it etched something in me. I said, No. And thankfully, by the grace of God, I didn't go there with more baseball cards or other things to steal over the years. And part of that was that money lesson my dad gave us in those quarters intended for the offering at church. And I'm no economist, but a quarter in the mid-60s is probably, what, several dollars now in terms of value? Mm-hmm. And so he put out, you know, six times, let's say a quarter is now worth $3. I don't know, but let's say it is. So that means there was $18 worth of giving there. And, you know, my dad did not make a lot of money by any means. But it was a value lesson that he hoped would one day work its way into our heart. That the heart is what God treasures and cherishes, and he wants our hearts to cherish him, not money. This morning's passage, from Matthew, asks a lot of questions about where Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So kind of turn that question around. When we look at our heart, what does it show us about what we treasure, what we value? And I said to add the word possess or possession. Not too long ago, you may recall, there was someone that down at the Walmart in East Stroudsburg that tried to steal a big screen TV, a really massive one, you know, 65, 70 inches or wherever it was, put it in the cart, tried to roll it right out the front door without paying for it. And they were stopped by security, and then there was an altercation, and I think the security person got punched, but then, you know, it sort of drew attention, and then the would-be thieves left it there and ran in the car and took off. So it wasn't stolen, but, you know, someone was hurt in the process, and hopefully the law has caught up with them. But the thing is, that person was willing to go to those lengths in a very brazen kind of way. He or she thinks they were going to possess a television. But what really happened is the television possessed them long before they got to the front of the Walmart. There's a moment where the would-be thief looks at something, covets something, and says, I want that, it is mine, I'm going to find a way to make it mine. Now, there's a legitimate way to make it yours, of course, if that gentleman would have shelled out the, you know, $800,000, whatever that TV cost, he could have taken it home legally and it would have been fine, but it still would have possessed his heart. But, of course, to go across that line makes it that much worse. But that's a question. So even when we come by things that we like, that we desire through legal means, they can still possess us. And so the idea of what is it that we are devoted to? Jesus makes those comparisons here in this sixth chapter of Matthew, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the 24th verse, once again, you know, you can't serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one or despise the other. So what is it that we treasure? What is it that has our hearts? If I love God, do I despise money? Now, I know we don't have to despise money in the sense of, well, I'm never going to use it again. I'm never going to pull that cash out of my wallet or use the credit card, or now it's very common people basically have their money on their phone, and that's fine if that's the way you want to go with it. But however it is, you have the ability to make a transaction, make a purchase with those means. But I don't have to despise the money itself, the dollar in my pocket that'll help me pay for my coffee tomorrow morning. But what I despise is what money can do to me. If I love God and I'm devoted to Him and God possesses me rather than me allowing some thing or desire to possess, then I despise the lust for things and the lust for the money that gets me those things. And if we're not careful, that's what can grab our heart. As just that little boy, I learned that lesson from a simple little cardboard card. But things of greater value and lesser value have certainly possessed people. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. So when we think about God and money, it is making a statement to God that we are devoted to you first and foremost, and we despise the places that money takes us to when we put that in front of God. If I love money, do I hate God? Well, it is, again, turning the whole question around a little bit. And of course, no one's going to say so much that they hate God, but sometimes people will use God, or I should say attempt to use God, to fulfill the true desire of their heart. So let's just make up an example. I've got to have the latest and greatest new car. Now, if you bought a new car recently, great, doesn't mean there's something wrong there. But if that car has kind of possessed you and you want it and you really have to have it, and maybe it's a status thing for you, or maybe, you know, it's got all these gadgets and it just have to have it. And I can't really afford it, but I'm going to have it anyway. So we pray to the Lord, Lord of God, I really need this car. And then we get it. And then what we're doing is we are attempting to use God to fill what is really our God, the desire for a thing. And replacing God in that way. So we are basically hating God in the process. We aren't going to say it in so many words, but anything that replaces God is kind of an act of hate toward God. When the laws were written under Moses in your Old Testament, there was often the phrase, God would say to the prophets, I am a jealous God. It's a simply a way of saying you need to have first things first. Your Creator, your Lord, your Savior needs to be first. Can the new car save you? Can a stack of, you know, $600,000 save you? Can the new house and whatever else it might be, can that save you? No, of course it can't. So are you going to hate that in terms of the desire for it replacing God? And then, in effect, hate God in the process? Or are you going to love God first and put that in its place? That's what Christ is talking about. It's a priority structure of the heart. So which are we devoted to? And then the next word, let me give you another passage about devotion. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, my Lord, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Now, in that verse, we see, teach me, Lord, to rely on your faithfulness. Rely on your faithfulness. And give me an undivided heart. That is the beginning of devotion. That is a way to be devoted. We are relying not upon the things that we think are going to fulfill us or make us happy or keep us safe or make us better looking or, you know, whatever it might be that the heart covets and desires so much and so easily. But we rely first and foremost on God and how He is faithful to us. And then He wants us to have an undivided heart, which I think is a wonderful phrase. It's a powerful and difficult phrase to live up to, I believe. But I'm not going to say, well, God, you can have about this much, okay? If it's a pie chart, you know, look, you got, what, 3/4? God, that's pretty good. I'm just going to keep this for me over here, this little wedge. Okay, I'll make it smaller. Okay, but it's still divided. What God wants is all of ourselves. Whatever formula, mathematics, percentage, dollar amount that you decide week in, week out that you're gonna, you know, bless the church list, bless God with, and what you put in the basket back there, put in the basket. Really, it's all God's to begin with. So what I look at is I certainly want to honor God with what I give. To help the church, to keep our lights on and take care of things and have the campfires for the kids and all the cool things we're doing and will do here in our new facility and pay for this place. But I also, now hear this, when I buy my coffee, when I buy my groceries, when I pay for the cable to be connected, or the dish network, or whatever it might be, the things that are a regular part of my spending, I can honor God or not with those things as well. So it isn't just honoring God with X amount of dollars goes into the basket or is donated to the church. I've done my part, the rest is mine. It's all His. And the way in which I use it should also honor Him. And then contentment is the next word. Again, from 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And verse 8, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Are you? I don't know how many of you have ever been hungry. I mean, like, you didn't know where the next meal was going to come from hungry. Maybe some of you have been in that place. I don't know. But it's not that many of us can relate to that. But sadly, many can. Many right now don't know where that's coming from. And so we have, I think most of us in this room, it's safe to say, have sufficient food at least, have sufficient clothing. Are we content with that? A good friend of mine that I meet with regularly, and we have great discussions and look into the Word together and we pray together, he comes back to this a lot, and I need to hear it from him. He says the opening line of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the newer versions might say, "I lack nothing." But I like that word, want. If the Lord is my shepherd, if the Lord is my leader, if the Lord is my protector, if the Lord is my provider, then I don't have to want something other than what the shepherd is giving me. Want. And that's a good reminder here about contentment, is to trust God to take care of us, to give us what's best. And I also want to point out from 1 Timothy 6, it isn't money is not the root of all evil. It is what? The love of it. And I'm sure I said that before, but it bears repeating because it gets so often misquoted. Pink Floyd in their one song, Money, they say, money's the root of all evil. No, it isn't. The love of it is. And here's why that's important. Because if you don't have any money and the root of all evil is money, well, I guess you don't got to worry about evil. But you can have no two nickels put together and nothing in your pocket and still love it. It's the desire for it that we're talking about here. And that desire can lead to so many different places. So we need to work on contentment. We see contentment from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. It begins with the fear of the Lord. And that's, by the way, that's a good, that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is a good come back to verse or line. Not just about money and the desires of our heart, but anytime we feel like we're out of alignment with God, okay? It's just something isn't right. It's kind of stale, or I'm frustrated, or God seems far away, or, you know, anxiety's building up, wherever it might be. It's good to come back to that phrase, the fear of the Lord. Because if you go through the Proverbs and the Psalms, you'll see a lot of things the fear of the Lord is. For example, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, you know, brings peace. And it's not a terrifying fear. It's a deep reverence and respect for the one who made you, for the one who loves you, for the one who gave you his son, Jesus Christ. And the fear of the Lord in that way leads to life, to true life. Then one can rest content, untouched by trouble. Doesn't mean trouble won't happen, but it means troubles won't affect you the way it would if you don't have that fear of the Lord as your basis. And then from Hebrews chapter 13, similar to what Paul wrote to Timothy, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Again, be content with what you have. And I say that to you knowing that I need to hear that too. Because when you leave this place, how long will it take for a commercial to come to you? If you listen to the radio, that's going to come pretty quickly. There's not a whole lot of billboards and signs here, but just down the road, I think there is. And so, and especially when we, you know, have our phones or our laptops on the internet, there's little, buy this, think about that, you need this, boom. And how many of the, someone was telling me this morning at the Bartonsville Church, they just went out to Giant really quick this morning, Giant Supermarket over there. And they're going to spend like a dollar. It's just something that's in and out. And they just had all these questions. Are you a member? And they wanted, do you have a card? Would you like to become one? No, I just want to give you a dollar and walk out for this, please. Because so many things grab our attention wanting this, buy, 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 buy. And that's not in itself is wrong, but we have to recognize that we are being inundated with thousands, and I mean thousands, of advertising messages every day when you were to add them all up. And we don't even see them anymore, hear them in a lot of ways, but they are having an effect. They are embedded within us. And so to be content with what we have is a greater challenge when the world is telling us to buy, buy, buy all of the time. And sometimes we need to buy, and sometimes I'm glad for the commercial that told me about the thing that was on sale that I really do need. So good, but it's really not balanced, though, in terms of what we really should have out there in advertising. In a longer passage, also from Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he says this. Now remember, when you read Philippians, Paul wrote this while he was a prisoner. He was in basically house arrest in Rome. So that was his circumstance, that was his situation when he wrote this in the rest of the book. I rejoice, one more thing, I'm sorry, and there was an offering sent to him to help him with his needs, okay, collected by other churches and brought to him, and he's responding to that and thanking them. And when he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Content, whatever the circumstances. Content in any and every situation. Isn't that hard? It's hard for Paul Miller, I know that. Circumstances change, situation. This wasn't my plan for the day. And I start looking to other means besides my Lord to help me through the day. And then somewhere along the way, hopefully I remember, boy, if I just would have prayed, it could have made things a lot easier. It's still hard, it's still difficult, but God's got my back and I'm reminded that He's there. He has my back anyway, but when I'm ignoring Him, it doesn't help. Content, whatever the circumstance, content in any every situation. He's learned that secret. That last line there in the 13th verse of Philippians 4 is often quoted. It says, now in this version, it says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Some versions say, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. It's really, what it really means is, I can do all these things through Him who gives me strength. That's not to say that you can't pull that verse out and take confidence that God can give you strength in a lot of different ways, but we shouldn't pull it out in a selfish sort of way. It should be for His glory, for the purpose of getting through the circumstance, getting through the situation, God will give you the strength to do so. Do you see that? That certainly includes your personal finances, your family finances. That certainly includes all the provisions that you need, that you depend on, that sometimes you're not sure where they're going to come from. That certainly includes relational situations in your life where circumstances and situations change quite often. God is there and ready to help you, ready to give you strength for that purpose in every situation, in every circumstance. Are you devoted to God and content with what He provides? That's the question as we go to prayer in a moment and then come to the table together to remember His broken body and shed blood for us. That our hearts, when devoted to Him in an undivided way, or divided as little as possible, and to be content with what He's given to us. Because when we begin the day by expressing gratitude, by expressing thanks, by showing God, yeah, I have a lot of that. This is good. Thank you. Thank you, God. This is good. It really helps the circumstances and situations that arise to be much more manageable. But if we don't have that, then the circumstances, situation begin to work their way into the heart and claim royalty over you. And begin to, and there's that third word I wanted to add, to possess you rather than God possessing you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to You by trusting You first and believing that You care for us and that You understand and that You know our needs. And we thank You for food and clothes. We thank You for things like beds and roofs over our heads and a whole lot of extra stuff like air conditioning on a hot day and so much that we take for granted in this world filled with blessing. Help us, Lord God, to put first things first, that You may be in our heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I welcome all of you to come this morning to the table and to share in the bread and the cup. Everyone is welcomed at the table. Simply come up and tear off a small piece from the loaf. The loaf represents and reminds us of Jesus' body. Take one of the cups, representing the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. Take it back to your seat with you and hold it in your hand until we're done worshiping together. And then we will partake together.
The song that we're going to sing for communion this morning is a new song. But feel free to join us in the worship of the Lord.
Amen. Hey. soldiers watch in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the
The body of Jesus was broken and given for all. Is this bread in our hands is a reminder of what he went through for us. It was broken and beaten to become the crucified one that set us free. The body of Jesus given for you. When blood is shed, it stops everything, and we take care of the person that's bleeding as quickly as possible because it's important. But Jesus willingly gave up all of his blood, and he died on that cross, that there would be no sacrifice ever needed after him, because he was the sacrifice, the ultimate and only sacrifice that God would honor for all of us to be forgiven and free. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Lord God, I thank you for every person here today, for every family. Bless them. Guide them that they would trust you first and cherish and treasure you first and last and everywhere in between. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You may have noticed in the back, we have an air conditioner that doesn't do us much good yet because it's sitting there in the box and it's really heavy. I managed to get it there, so somehow this week we're going to have to get it in. It's going to take a little bit of work, but so Lord willing, we'll have it ready for you next week. I'm sorry it's a little stuffy here this morning, but God bless.
How are you?
Good.
All right.
Good. I'm good.
Okay. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah. Yeah, nice and quiet. I cut the lawn, trimmed it up.
Blow stuff up? Did you blow stuff up?
No.
No, I'm willing to bet that sometime in your past you probably blew stuff up.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. Mr. Joe, how are you?
Never had it so good.
All right. Well, enjoy your day.
Every day I get up, it's enjoyable.
That's right. Hopefully it won't be as warm as yesterday. It's a little hot, but not too bad. Bill, how you been?
I've been just fine.
Good. Yourself? I'm good.
I see you walking around really good.
Yeah.
It was a success.
Yes, it was. So far, so good. Surgery went well. So
good. That's great
yeah.
to hear that.
Okay, Marie. You too.
That is great to hear that. I mean, I like to hear the successes.
Honestly, the first 48 hours were a little intense. You know, and I suppose that's just normal. I know what to expect, you know. But after that, I was actually surprised at how quickly I recovered, how quickly I'm walking normally and all that.
I tell every the same thing.
Who's the great physician was, who's the great physician that in the New Testament?
Right,
was
right.
Mark, Paul, whichever.
Luke.
Luke was the great physician. But since that time, medicine and everything has evolved in such a fashion, in such ways that unbelievable. Yeah. They talk about how you heal so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, the methods that they have.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I
am happy to hear that. That gives me hope.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
gives me hope because at the present time, I'm like, how can I say it? I'm braced up.
Okay.
You know, but I feel great now, though.
Okay. Sorry.
I feel great. But, you know, that gives me hope. So in case I do have to go through something like that, I know that, hey, with his help, with God's help.
Right.
Hey, I'm there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad to see you up and getting around without any problem. No pains, no pain at all?
No.
No residual?
It's really amazing. The joint itself has very little pain at all.
Well, that's where you said they installed the new one.
In fact,
one,
right? In fact, my other foot. Wait, honey, stop. There's a parking lot here. I didn't want you to get hit, honey. Okay. Okay.
Come on.
Go inside. Yeah, go inside. Thank you.
Hello. Hi.
Okay. Hiya. Yeah. I just saw a little one hopping out the door there, and I saw Joe backing up.
I'm going to be backing up soon.
Yeah.
I met somebody as I get older, short-term memory loss. Mary, I think her name was Mary.
Okay.
She was telling me about your camp.
Yeah,
that's right here. Am I correct?
Yes.
It's in the back.
Yes.
Okay.
On Wednesday. Yep. Yep.
So she was telling me I should come to the camp. Right.
Okay. Yep. How are you doing? Okay, where's Chris?
He's at home right now.
Okay.
He got tired of
him. Okay, that's all right. Tell him he's missed today.
Yes.
Okay.
I love it, but I
all right, good.
Yeah. That's about it.
Okay.
So far, two Christians, one communion, one recital. That's four. And I just hear you having another grandbaby, so like...
Yeah, we are.
Start counting.
Yeah.
Don't count them all.
That's right. Yeah, we're
between the grandkids, great grandkids.
We're more than blessed. That's for sure. Yeah.
Definitely a blessing.
Yeah. Yep.
And birthdays.
Yep.
They're
yep.
coming. I see at this stage of my life when I go to New York, I try. I don't come back.
Right, right.
Because she'll be crying for me.
Yeah,
especially if I go to New York, I gotta make advance plans. I tell my daughter, I'll be there. She said, don't worry, Dad. Parking's there. She fixes things up for me, so I get parked there. July, and then mine comes, so that's the big one.
All right.
I'm telling you, but have a blessed day, Pastor.
You too.
And glad to see you. Glad to see you.
If I didn't see you today, I was going to call and check on you.
Listen.
You don't want her after you. Look out. Yeah.
I had a funny thing in it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
She doesn't drink coffee, obviously. Here you are.
Did you get a bagel, Pastor?
Nope. I'll get one. I gotta check something here. So your phone serves as a prop to help your elbow there. Hey, Vera, is there an app for that?
No. There's nothing on it.
Oh, okay, I'll do that since we have so much of it. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, if anybody uses cream cheese at home, take some. We got a whole bunch of these are going to go bad. Okay. Seriously, had the bagel day. But now I realize cream cheese, so that's fine. But
okay.
Yep.
Maybe.
No,
maybe not.
Maybe not. Trevia, what were you drinking? Coffee?
Water. Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Oh. Welcome. So, are you a neighbor?
That's
cousin?
Nephew.
Okay. Yeah. Where do you live? New York. Okay. Good luck with the traffic. Yeah, when they leave, good luck with the traffic. Just from here to 80, every light was backed up. Now, it wasn't like a constant string, but it was like each light was backed up for like half a mile, then it would be a little break, then the next light down another half mile. And that was an hour ago. So
yeah, they are. My sister, she was planning on leaving earlier today, like around, I would say, 7, but she didn't feel well, so she's home resting.
What?
So
she's okay.
Trying to be more
numb. Okay.
Better, yeah.
Did you ask that?